So when I was, I think, 14, I turned on the television. I was home by myself, and there was this a short story that had been turned into a short film. And I think the story was by Ray Bradbury, but the story really captured my attention. And it envisioned this sort of future world where the sun did not come up anymore. There was no sun to be had. And it looked to me like my imagination of communist Russia. Everything was concrete, everything was gray. In my mind, that's what it looked like. And then children would come to school in this world, and they would be planted in front of sun lamps for an hour a day to get some vitamin D. And so in this landscape, one day, one little girl arrives to school, and she says, "Today is the day that the sun is coming. It's going to appear at 3:25 this afternoon, but only for 5 minutes." And nobody believed her. And they said, "No, that's ridiculous." She's like, no, the prophecy has said the sun will be coming at 3:25, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to blow our minds. And they ridiculed her. And in fact, they were so upset and so unnerved by her hope and her anticipation that they locked her in a closet shortly before the promised time of the sun. So at 3:25, the sun arrived. It came out. And there's this amazing scene in the film where grass shoots up from the ground, and plants come into being, and flowers suddenly bloom within this five-minute window. And the children who have never seen sun rush outdoors, and they're playing in the fields, and they're rolling in the grass, and it's only for a short window, but in that they come fully alive and excited. But this little girl is stuck in the closet. But even from that place, she can see a sliver through the crack of the light, and she knows that the sun indeed came as she anticipated. And in that story, it looks at the capacity for wonder and faith in the midst of gloom and pragmatism and reliance on science. And it seems to ask, are we capable of wonder and faith? Are we capable of believing in something bigger than what we can see and touch? And that is the crux of the gospel today, whether the people around Jesus will choose faith or belief or remain in a place of skepticism and resistance. Those who came to Jesus in our story resented Jesus appearing at the temple and bringing with him a huge following of people who wanted to hear him teach about the scriptures. The day before he had come to the temple and turned over the money changing tables, and scourged the temple of all of those who were fleecing the people of their money. And so the people are angered at this clearing of the temple and at this arrival of people who want to hear him teach about the scripture. And they don't know what to do with this Jesus. And so Jesus tells a parable about two sons and asks the surrounding skeptics, which son did the will of the Father? And if we look at the Gospel of John, at one point Jesus says, "This is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." It is the will of our Heavenly Father that we have faith in the one who came to help us see God more clearly and to encounter a love that transforms. Jesus knew that among the rulers who had come to him, the Jewish religious leaders at the time who had come to him and questioned him, he knew that they saw this distinction among people, the good people and the bad people. And so he tells this parable, who is doing the will of the Father? And in this parable, at the end of it, he says, "See, tax collectors and prostitutes, the people that you have said have no place, they are the ones who have chosen faith, who have chosen belief. Why not you? Why is it so hard for you?" And faith requires this leap into wonder and hope, into awe and mystery. Meister Eckhart, Phil read the passage by Meister Eckhart, was a 13th century theologian, philosopher, and a mystic. And the selection we read today oozes with mysticism, that capacity to be open to awe and wonder and mystery and faith. Eckhart believed that creation resulted from God's ebullience, that God was so filled with love and generativity that the universe could not be contained but spilled out from God, overflowing from this well of love. And as a result, all creation witnesses to God. As Eckhart writes, "Every single creature is full of God and is a book about God." Eckhart also wrote that if he spent enough time with a creature even so small as a caterpillar, he would never have to prepare a sermon. So I'm going to take a note from Eckhart. And instead of preaching further, I'm going to invite us into a shared sermon of stories. And this is the question I invite you to answer. Where has a pet or other creature shown you some aspect of God or made God more known to you? How has a pet or other creature shown you some aspect of God? I'll share my own story. And on that day when I was about 14 and I saw that show on the television, I was at that time a very angsty teenager. And I imagined myself as this sort of tortured artist that was on the outside, that was not seen or heard. And this image of this little girl saying, "The sun is coming," and nobody believing her, and everyone being afraid of her and pushing her into a closet, and that is where she stayed when the sun came out, that devastated me. I did not see the hopeful part about her seeing the sun through the crack. I was angered that she did not get to be there rolling in the grass with everybody else. So that was a really big moment of emotion for me at 14. And I remember falling to the floor and just weeping at this story. And along came our stray cat that we had adopted just about a month before, and it crawled along the couch. And it perched itself right next to my face. And then it licked the tears away. And I had never had an interaction with an animal like that before. But in that moment, for me, it was a reminder of compassion and what it means to be with. And I think that cat expressed something of God's capacity to be with us in the midst of sorrow and to be compassionate. So, what stories do you have, and however small, of something an animal has expressed that you associate with God? And Joe has a mic, and who wants to jump in? We'll just start the storytelling. Let's see Laura's hand.
Mine is similar to yours. Whenever I have... actually every time that I can think of when I've been particularly sad enough to cry, then I have this little guy here and another one too. And from wherever they are in the house, I can't imagine they can hear me, but they come and they cuddle up with me. And especially one time when I was a little bit frustrated because I didn't feel like I could hear God's answer when I was praying, it dawned on me, but your dogs are right there loving you, and that's my love.
Thanks, Laura.
A So the high school I went to had a large population of feral cats that one of the teachers who lived on campus would feed, and one of them had been hit by a car at least once and was pretty messed up and like brain damage and everything. And I would stay after school a lot because my mom had to get off of work to come pick me up after swim practice, and this cat would come and just sit with me and keep me company. So even a creature that's battered by humans and, you know, maybe not treated so well, just the compassion and the love, just like, you know, wanted some attention, wanted to give me some attention. It was a really nice companion for 4 whole years of high school.
Oh, that's lovely. Any other stories?
I'll share one and then I see two over here. But so we used to have a cat, Willow, and she was Mari's cat, really. But she, you know, they were inside cats, but I would take her out in the backyard sometimes. She would just sit right outside the porch and eat some grass. So one time there was a deer in the backyard. We get a lot of deer in our area. And I thought, oh, let's put Willow out and see if she does anything. Well, Willow just sat there eating the grass, didn't even notice the deer. But the deer noticed her. And the deer was 20 feet away, then 15, 10, 6 feet. You could see the deer was, like, very curious. And then all of a sudden, Willow, like, and then turned to Mari and was like, meow. So it's that curiosity of that deer. It was just, and Mari has a video if you want to see it at coffee hour.
Nice.
We have a 2-year-old rough collie named Duncan. And he's over puppyhood for the most part, thank goodness. But this last spring or winter, Philip was gone fishing down in Patagonia, and I was home alone. However, we both came down with COVID on the same day. And I was only in bed one day, really. It was like a cold, but I didn't feel all that well. And Duncan just snugs right up next to me on the bed. And every morning when I have my prayer time, he's laying at my feet. And he is the most intuitive and sensitive dog we've ever had. And we've had a number of dogs.
Lovely. Thanks. I see Mark.
So as you can tell, Dizzy is kind of intense. but she, sometimes when I'm stuck in my own head, I'll be trying to do 3 things at once, and she'll be on my lap, and she'll insist that I actually look at her while I'm petting her. Mm-hmm. Or she'll insist that, no, now is the time where we play tug with the carrot. And so she pulls me out of my multitasking and just here, to see broader and to recognize her.
That's wonderful. I saw Mark.
I don't know that it's really a story, but I've always had dogs. I've always had a dog. And growing up a gay kid, feeling outside, feeling unaccepted, having a dog and that unconditional love and acceptance is meant a lot to me, but it's also to me part of what being a Christian is. So that's what came to my mind when you suggested this.
I love it. Thank you, Mark. Thanks.
So all the animals in our house, and we have 3, but only 2 are here today. No matter how hard your day is or what was happening, you come home and they're just excited and joyous. And they're like, welcome home, welcome home, welcome, welcome, you're home. Wally does it, Parker does it, our cat Mia does too. And so that's what I thought of, was just that joyous welcome. I'm so excited to see you, right? Yeah. You know, like it kind of makes you happier no matter what your day was like when you walk in the door.
That's great. Wonderful. Thank you. And one in the corner over here, Doug.
And and mine will be very similar to the others. But we've got this lovely golden plus two cats. Now, how frequently they get together? Not all that much. However, the exception, oh God, that's loud, sorry. The exception is whenever someone's ill in the house, the three together will lay with that person, whoever it is, and not leave the side of that person until they're able to be up and moving and feeling better. Mm-hmm. And they don't even communicate about it. It's just someone needs it, someone needs comfort, and God sends it right on down, and you get that warm body on each edge of you, and sometimes on your head as well. And yeah, they're lovely animals.
Oh, wonderful. Anyone else? Well, thank you for those stories. One of the things I have enjoyed about being a priest here in this space is how much of nature surrounds us during the service. And this morning during the 8 o'clock service, which we meet over in this corner, there was, when I got up to start preaching, there was this little bird that just kept hopping around the window, was very active right in that little corner. There's one time when I was preaching and a deer came up and sort of pressed its nose against the glass and just sort of stayed there for a while during the sermon. Both of those moments at the time just felt like lovely invitations to me to be open to the mystery and the creativity that God has in communicating with us and telling us God's story. And very often, when humans are too dumb to make that connection, I think God uses an animal to speak the truth and to whisper forth something that God cares about, the things that you have named: compassion, connection, love, unconditional love, acceptance. These are sometimes things that are easier to see and receive from an animal than to embrace from our God, who is continually offering us that embrace. So may you be open to wonder and awe, and open to the mystery, and respond with faith.